Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. So turn there with me if you would. Today's message is be thankful. We're going to begin in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, as Paul writes this, going to verse 15. I'll let you get there. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. Okay, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even so as Christ forgave you, so you should also think about it. It doesn't say that, right? There's not an option there, right? It says, so you also must do. But above all these things, it says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be what? Be thankful. Lord, today as we open your word and this message, be thankful. In this time of year, as we're approaching Thanksgiving, I pray that you would remind us of the importance of being thankful and how that is actually a blessing to us when we are thankful and have gratitude in our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit in the Word would change us today through this message. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Be thankful. So when our kids are little, we always tend to teach them, you know, if somebody were to give something to our child and they're really small and they just stand there and look at that person who just gave them something. John, what would you as a parent say automatically to your child? Yeah, what do you say? Or say what? Say thank you. How many of you have teenagers? You still have to remind them of that sometimes. How many of you have spouses you still need to, you know, it's something that we always have to be cognizant of, that we're to have a grateful heart and a thankful heart. And we learn that from being a child most times. But it seems like the culture that we live in today, would you agree? We live in a culture where thankfulness and gratitude is quickly taking a back seat to entitlement, where it's like, I deserve this. You know what I mean? Where it's no longer, oh, thank you, I am so grateful for that. But we live in a culture today where it's like, well, it's entitlement. I deserve this. And I read this quote recently, this next slide that'll come up, that said, I don't know who Adam Smith is, this guy that said it, but I thought it was an interesting quote. It said, entitlement is such a cancer because it is void of gratitude. Isn't that true? That it's void of gratitude when we have an entitlement mentality. Thanksgiving is a reminder this time of year that we are to cultivate a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. And it's actually a part of God's will for our lives. How many of you have ever wondered what God's will is for your life? You ever ask yourself the question, I wonder what his will is for my life? And a lot of times we'll look at God's will as some mysterious thing that's way out there that we have to figure out what it is. And I'm here to remind us that knowing God's will is simply knowing his word and applying it to our lives and letting him show us then what we're to walk into and to do. And then we find ourselves in his will. Do you know being thankful is part of his will for you? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Just a couple pages over. Page 1041. I don't know if anybody got that. I don't think anybody awake yet. In my Bible, that's the number. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Paul says here, this is his will for us, part of his will, God's will for us, says rejoice how often? Always. pray without ceasing. In everything, do what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, or in Christ Jesus for you. So if you want to know God's will, start by knowing His Word, and then His Word will explain to you what His will is. Now, it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says what? In everything. So if you're going through a battle right now of, say, sickness or a relationship that is strained or financial difficulties or whatever it may be, the Word says in everything give thanks, not for those things, because sickness we know is not from God, right? So you don't thank Him for that sickness, but you thank Him while you're in it. Because He is able to overcome it, right? And so we give thanks in all things, and that is part of God's will for our lives. How many of you rejoice always? Isn't that a fun one? When you're going through hard times, you have to choose, right, to rejoice just to get through it sometimes. How many of you would rather mope and just get down? You know, I do that sometimes. Yeah, I do. Where it's not easy to rejoice sometimes when you're going through things. So if being thankful, though, is part of God's will for us, how do we go about doing this? And we must be intentional to be thankful or to have a grateful heart. Just like we choose to love when we don't feel like loving, we choose to forgive when we sometimes don't feel like forgiving. The same is true about being thankful. We have to choose to be thankful. Last week I talked about scoring points with husbands and wives, you know, husbands and all that. And sometimes we love, when you're married, we love our spouses no matter what, right? The hardest things we go through, we still love them, but do you always feel those emotions? Sometimes not, right? But you have to choose to love through those hard times. The same is true about being thankful. So how do we develop this thankfulness in our hearts? The first way is this. It's an obvious one. It's through our words. How do we cultivate thankfulness in our hearts? It's through words. Now, some are more wordy than others, right? As you know, Gina and I are very different. I could probably use 5,000 words in a day or however many, and she could use probably 1,000. And in a relationship or whatever, words mean something though, right? Now I could overdo it. She's like, time out, enough, you know. But words are meaningful. There is power in our words, right? Even Proverbs says that. In 18:21, it says, look at this verse here, if you would. I think it's coming up here. It says, the power, death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. Our words mean something. So to be grateful and have a grateful heart through our words, you know, you can write a note, you can send a text or an email, but how many of you know texts or emails aren't as personal as your words? Isn't it interesting? You see kids texting or even adults texting and you ask the question, who are you talking to? How many of you know you're not talking to anybody? But we ask that, right? See, our culture is into we're texting and we're actually talking. But no, those words aren't coming out, right? Yes, they're coming through. Have you ever misread a text? Misread an email? But see, so often we want to take the shortcut and, oh, I'll text them a thank you but our words mean something, right? Our words of thankfulness and gratitude should be a part of who we are as Christ followers. Graciousness and gratefulness, it should actually be a light that comes out of us, not a text through a phone. Now, don't get me wrong. I like texting my wife. Hey, I'm thinking of you. I like that. You know, how many of you do that? If you don't, it's a good thing. You know, but there's something about a spoken word or even a written word. You ever write a card to somebody recently? I saw this quote that said this, if you want to find happiness, find gratitude. See, showing gratitude doesn't only make the other person feel good, but do you know it does something in your heart as well? To show gratitude to somebody, it makes that person feel well, but it also makes you feel good also. You know, I love the verse in Proverbs. It says, a merry heart does good. Like what? Like medicine. It's good to laugh. It's good to write a note, even a funny note. You know, my birthday was this past week and I got a card. And somebody just took time, and this card, it was thoughtful, showing gratitude. But it says this on the front. Once upon a time, a very special person was born who was destined to change the world. Calm down. It's not you. It's Jesus. It just made me laugh. And it says, I think he'd want you to have a happy birthday, though. And he wrote a note there, and actually the proverb 17 was there, a merry heart does good. You know, our words mean something. When we take time, and here's the reason we don't do it sometimes, is we're so busy. We're not thinking of others, we're thinking of who? Ourselves. Being grateful and taking time through our words to express to one another is so important. I look at Darren here, and it was a text, but texts are good at times, right? I just, this morning, I said, Darren, thank you. Every once in a while, he'll shoot me a text, you know, can I share that? I guess I just did, you know, but he'll say, hey, how you doing today? Or I'm praying for you, or happy birthday. And see, those little things mean more than maybe you realize. And so through words, we have to develop this grateful heart and let those words come out. How many of you is that hard to do? I mean, how many of you grew up in a home where that wasn't really displayed maybe much? But it's something that is good, not only for the person receiving it, but for ourselves as well. The second way that we show thankfulness is through this. And I hope this is a practical sermon that we can apply when we leave here today. It's through giving and showing compassion. Years ago, I remember somebody telling me when they were giving in the offering, you know, they were saying, you know, when I give in the offering, it's my way of saying to the Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you. I give this back to you. You know, we've never passed a plate here at Family Life. You know, when I go to a church sometimes, if I'm visiting somewhere, and I'll hear them say, okay, we're going to now take the offering. I'm like, where are they going to take it to? And the reason that we've always given in the offering in the way that we do here, my heart was this in the beginning. We learn to have a heart that's grateful for what he's done for us, that we almost can't wait to get here to give part of that back to him. And it develops a grateful heart in us when we give not only of our finances, but also in showing compassion towards others. Now, how many of you would admit you are not a real compassionate person? It's like you see somebody, you know, and you're like, instead of showing compassion, you're like, I'd rather not. I won't get into all the details. But, you know, compassion doesn't come natural for you. How many of you it does? It might be your gift, you know, where you show compassion. You have that heart of compassion. This story that Jesus in Matthew 14, turn there with me, because Jesus was the ultimate at showing compassion. Matthew 14, two verses I'm going to read from here. And, you know, we always find time for what's important to us. And a lot of times we get so busy and we're in such a hurry that when somebody is in need of compassion, we're too busy to meet that need because we're thinking of us. And I could be guilty of that. Matthew 14, a great example of Jesus showing compassion. It says here, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, And he was moved with what? Compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, the question is, it says when Jesus heard it. Did you notice that? What did he just hear about? What was that? Yeah, John the Baptist, just he was beheaded. He was killed. And the disciples took his body and they buried it. Was John the Baptist really close to Jesus? Jesus just heard this news and he gets in a boat and he says what? I have got to get away. It says he went to a deserted place, right? It says he went alone in this boat. He was in this boat and he went. And what did the people all do? Oh man, we heard this too. So we're going to go too. We're going to go on foot around that body of water and we're going to be there when Jesus gets there. Now, how many of you, if you had the hardest day of your life, if you just heard the worst news you ever heard and you left work and you were driving home and you said, I cannot wait to get home. I'm going to close the doors and the blinds. I just want to be alone. I don't want anybody to bother me. I just need some time with my Heavenly Father. And when you pull in the driveway, there's all these cars there. All your family is there. All your friends are there. Everybody that has a need in your neighborhood is there. How many of you would be like, oh, wow, it's so good to see all of you. In the first service, Kerm said, after the service, he said, there is a reverse in your car. Just back right out and go somewhere else, you know. But this amazes me. Jesus gets out of the boat near all these people. They beat him there and he looks at them. And what did he show them? Compassion. And he healed the sick. Compassion is a huge way of showing that we're thankful for what he's done for us, that we put other people's needs before our own. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to do. To put other people's needs before my own. Because what? We're human, right? We want our needs to be met. How many of you know in a marriage, you got to put your spouse's needs before your own. And when you don't, you lose those points we talked about last week. Right? And so showing compassion is huge in a way that we need to give to those that we have to make time for. The last way to give thanks is a huge blessing for ourselves. It's the third point here is this. It's through simply receiving Christ into your life. Do you remember the day you did that? You know, do you remember the day that you asked Christ to come in and be your Savior? Well, receiving Christ is a form of showing thanks. Look with me at Psalm 116, if you would. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. I love this question that the psalmist asks. And he basically is asking the question and saying, how can I show thanks to the Lord for everything that he has done for me? In so many words, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He asks a question and basically he answers his question with this thought. He says, here's what I'll do. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It goes on to say, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In church, a huge way of showing gratitude. The only thing that the Lord requires of us is to say yes to him and then begin to live in obedience to his word. And as we do that, that's thanks enough for him. You ever wish there were a bigger word or a better way to say thank you? Like, you ever get to the point where you're like, man, thank you. You write a thank you note. Like, okay, I wish I could say more than just that. You wish that sometimes when you praise the Lord, you could use more words or be more expressive, but all that the Lord requires of us is to be thankful when we receive Him into our lives, and then we ask Him to help us to live in obedience to His word. It says, for all His benefits toward me. Can I ask you a question? What are some of those benefits that come to mind right now? For all His benefits for me. Can you think of one? Health? Yeah, Kathy? Forgiveness, protection, health. What else? There's some other things. Eternal life? Yeah. What else? That's a huge blessing, right? To live where we live. Sometimes we take that for granted. To have clean water. You know? What else? What else? And how often do we have to be reminded of that? Like daily, you know. Peace, Justin, is so, I think next to our salvation, I think peace is one of the greatest gifts we've been given. He's the Prince of Peace. And when you don't have peace, your life isn't right. Everything just seems a little bit muddled, you know. But peace, what's another one? It's another benefit. Yeah, He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always with us. What else? Another benefit, joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? What else? Another one? Yeah, to love one another even when it's hard, right? We can't do it in our own strength, to love one another. What else? These are good. There's so many benefits that we have, and His benefits are so much better than the world's benefits. You ever have a job and you have a benefits package, right? And it might look good. And, you know, you have a health plan, health care plan. Yeah, this week, Gina's getting some new health insurance coverage where she works. It'll be better coverage. And so it'll be good. But it was interesting. I had to cancel the plan she's on now as of December 1st. Okay. So I called November 6th. I said, okay, she'll need canceled December 1st. Well, I called back a week later because I needed to find something out. And they said, oh, she's been canceled as of November 6th. I'm like, well, I didn't ask for that. And now, you know, until December 1st, guess what? We're going to wrap her in bubble wrap and all that. Yeah, like, do not leave this home, you know. But you can't stop living, right? And so why am I saying all that? Well, the benefits package of the world are marred. They're imperfect. They make mistakes, right? And so the benefits package that you may get on this earth cannot touch what the Lord has for you. Here's what Psalm 103 says. Go back a few pages there with me. I'll let you get there because these verses are huge. And the psalmist here again is just reflecting on, this is David here, where he is just reminding himself. How many of you know we need to remind ourselves when life gets hard, and it does get hard, does it not? Every one of us, it gets hard at times, and we have to dig down deep and say, okay, I'm going to remind myself again to be thankful, to be grateful, and to remember all of His benefits. Look what he says here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I see the psalmist saying here, before I read these, he's saying, forget not. Why is that? Because we forget easily, right? We can forget that He's our Prince of Peace. We can forget that He gives us joy. We can forget that He's our healer. We can forget that He's always with us. Why? Because the world clouds that. And we live in the world every day. And if we're not reminding ourselves constantly of this fact, then we're not going to be grateful people. He goes on and says, here are the benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Amen. Are you glad for that? All of them. It says who heals all your diseases, not some of them, but all of them. Who redeems your life from destruction. Church, before you knew Christ, guess where you and I were heading? Hell and destruction. And so he redeems us. He chose us and said, here, I have eternal life. Who said that? Eternal life. I think Margie. I have eternal life for you. So his benefit is he redeems us from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that. Satisfies your mouth with good things. How many of you like to eat? I don't know if that's exactly what that's referring to, but this morning I said before I left this morning, Gina's just getting up and I leave early and she's half awake and has her coffee. And I said, I peeked in the door in the bedroom. I said, so what's for lunch today? It is, but I start thinking about lunch early. And she said, we're having sauerkraut and pork. And yeah. and then she said, mashed potatoes. I said, the real kind? And she said, yeah, you know, you get a box kind. And then I said, in corn? She said, yeah, in corn too. That corn is great, you know. And so it's like, I am ready in an hour or so to be eating something good. And doesn't the Bible say, taste and see that the Lord is good? See, now that's not just physical food. That's taste and see these benefits that the Lord is so good. Is he not? And see, we got to remind ourselves, just like that meal I'm going to have in an hour or so, man, that's a great meal. And I can't wait to eat Sunday lunch. Usually I am ready early, even the night before. I'm like, what's for lunch tomorrow? Sometimes I'll ask her on Saturday night. Because I enjoy eating. And just like that, the Lord's saying, I have all this for you. The world is taking it away from you, but I want to restore you. I want to remind you of all my benefits for you. I want to remind you that I'm your healer. I want to remind you that I'm your strength. I want to remind you that I'm your joy. I'm your peace. I never leave you. I'm your healer. I'm your everything. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You can refuse a meal. Maybe, you know, that doesn't happen much here in my life, but you can, right? You ever eat, you look at your plate and you're like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Spinach, you know, sushi, whatever. Whatever. You can refuse a meal, but here's what people do with the Lord. Sometimes the meal is before them. All these benefits are there. All that they have to say is, I take up the cup of salvation. I call upon the name of the Lord and boom, those benefits are yours. That's it. It's not like you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. No, it's all done already. Like Justin just said, we fight it from victory, not for victory. It's already been done. So don't refuse it. Accept it. And walk in that gratitude that begins when we receive Christ and his benefits into our lives. You see, being thankful should be a trait of every one of us who has Christ living inside of them. Because was Christ thankful? Was he grateful? Did he show compassion? Yes. Gratitude. How many of you want to be a light in a dark world? I hope you all do. It says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine amongst men, right? Here's one way to do it. Be grateful. Be gracious. Have a grateful heart. Say thank you to somebody that they won't know what to say. You ever open a door for someone? Just simple gesture. Do you know any more in this day and age, do you ever open a door for somebody and people walk through and don't say a word? And you're like, what just happened there? When I was a kid, you know, if you opened a door or somebody opened it for you, if you didn't say thank you, what did your mom or dad do? You heard about it, right? But the world we live in, it's entitlement mentality. Oh, they should have opened that door for me. But when we show gratitude to a world that lives in this mentality, isn't it like being a light? And so look for those opportunities. This last verse I'm going to share in Hebrews, Hebrews 12, verse 28, if you want to turn there. It's a huge verse because, you know, we talk about eternal life and the kingdom that we are inheriting. And it says here in Hebrews 12, 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. We'll get back to that word in a moment. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That verse is, that word grace there, it's a Greek word that is charis. And here's the word up here next. And it comes from the word graciousness and gratitude. And basically what this verse is referring to, it says, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. How many of you know the kingdom of heaven cannot be shaken? We are recipients of that. This kingdom that we have been allowed to look forward to someday. Aren't you glad that there's more than just this life? People that think when you die, that's it. Man, what hopelessness is that? I talked to somebody recently about that, and they think right now where they're at on the view is, it's like when you die, boom, that's it. Could you imagine living with no hope? Do you know people are living like that every day? They have no hope in eternal life. It's just over. But this verse reminds us we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and so let us have grace. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. See, when we know we're getting something better and we know we're pouring into eternity, we're to serve Him here with godly fear and reverence so that one day we will be with Him and enjoy all those benefits. We won't need that healing then, right? We'll be whole. We won't need our sins forgiven because we'll be made well, no more sin, right? No more death, no more crying, nothing. But all these benefits are coming to us with this kingdom which cannot be shaken. I like this version of the Berean Study Bible, how it puts it, this next slide. It says this in Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That filled with gratitude as we remember this time of year with Thanksgiving upon us, this filled with gratitude, my prayer is that these next few weeks, but our lives in general will be filled with gratitude that as we are, it's a light to those living in this dark world. Amen. Well, we have a worship team. Would you come on up and, just have a little bit of time here. Gina's going to be like, oh my, why is everybody coming down soon? I know they went down early about 9:45 or 10:00. So let's stand. I want to, this morning, I was almost going to put note cards on the back table out there. And I forgot to do that. Do you have some? Do you really? Did you put them out there? Oh, okay. Well, maybe Tammy can get them. And, you know, as I was thinking about this gratefulness, we have to cultivate it in our hearts and in our lives. When's the last time you wrote a note of thanks for someone? Do you remember your parents making you make write thank you notes? How many of your parents made you do that before? And you're like, do I have to do this? How many of you know it's good for you? It's good for us as adults. You know, why is it we teach our kids things when they're little and then as adults we don't do them anymore? You know, memorize those scriptures, read your Bible, kids. You got to memorize those scriptures. You got to read your Bible. Then we get older and what do? Are we memorizing scripture? Are we reading our Bible? You got to write thank you notes, kids. Do we do that? And so we teach our kids, but then if we're not careful, we could not do them ourselves. So I would encourage you to take time this week, somebody that you're thankful for, and maybe do it once a week. Maybe it is a text, but I would say do even more than that with your words or a written note. And develop a heart of thankfulness. It benefits you, not only the other one receiving it. Amen? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord.